B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Shkolim Daf Ches. We're going to start from the next Perek, the new Perek, at the bottom of Daf Zayin Omud Beis. Halacha Aleph says the Mishnah B'shloisha Prokim Bashono. We've already discussed that the Shkolim are brought, the Machtes HaShekel are all brought to this chamber in the Beis HaMikdash. And three times a year, Toir Menes HaLishka, they would withdraw some of the money, some of the coins that had been collected, and withdraw them into three Shofros, into three boxes, three kupois, and they would do this three times a year. At each of these intervals, they would fill up three boxes with these coins. When would they do that? The first time was Befrois HaPesach. The word pras always means a half, halfway towards Pesach. What does it mean, halfway towards Pesach? So we know that there's a number of halachas of Pesach that start 30 days before Pesach. Halfway before that, 15 days before Pesach, then that would be called Befrois HaPesach. That's when they would be Toirmin Es HaLishka. The second time would be Befrois HaAtzeres, which is 15 days before Shavuos. And the third time was Befrois HaChag, which is 15 days before Sukkos. That's as far as the Toirmin Es HaLishka. And now regarding a different halacha, and many Mepharshim understand that the next part of the Mishnah has nothing to do with the Shkolim, is to do with the Haim Groinois shel Maisa Behema. The Groinois are designated dates. Why they're called Groinois, which is normally the threshing floor, is something discussed in the Gemara. Not in the Gemara here, but elsewhere in Bavli. And there were designated dates of Maisa Behema. So unlike fruits and vegetables, where you have to take Trumas and Maestras, and if you don't, or until you take Maestras, you're not allowed to eat the fruits and vegetables. When it comes to these animals, to the kosher animals, that there's a mitzvah to take Maisa, which would mean that when animals are born, then they would pass them all through a very narrow entrance that only one animal can go through at a time. And every tenth animal that would go through would be knocked, would be painted with red, or whatever it was, would be painted, and that would be the tenth animal, and that would be brought to the Beis HaMikdash. That would be brought as a korban. That's called Maaser Behema. But even before Maaser Behema was taken, one is allowed to shecht one's animals and eat one's animals. It was just a mitzvah to take Maisa from them. The Chachomim said, and for whatever reasons they were, which we'll see, but the Chachomim said that three times a year is a time where, from that point on, you're not allowed to shecht or eat any of these animals unless you've taken Maisa. Put all the animals through this entranceway, take Maisa from all your animals, and then you can eat whatever's going to remain yours, the 9/10 of the animals, the rest you can now eat and use them as usual. So Divrei Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva says that the three points in the year when they would be the designated dates from at which point the Chachomim said that people have to take Maisa Behema are the same three times that they would be Toirmin Es HaLishka, which is Befrois HaPesach, Befrois HaAtzeres, and Befrois HaChag. That's Rabbi Akiva's opinion. Ben Azai Omer, and the most, as we said, most Mepharshim learn that the Machlokes we're about to learn here is only referring to the Groinois shel Maaser Behema and not to the Toirmin Es HaLishka. Toirmin Es HaLishka, there was no Machlokes. It's only regarding the Groinois shel Maaser Behema that Rabbi Akiva is the one that says that it's the same times as the Toirmin Es HaLishka. Ben Azai argues and says, Ben Azai Omer, Be'estrim v'tisha ba'ador. He doesn't use the terms Befrois HaPesach, uses the term 29th of Adar, because 15 days before Nisan, which is the term used at the beginning of the Mishnah, the term which Rabbi Akiva refers to, it could be the 29th of Adar, it could be the 30th of Adar, depending how many days there are in Adar. However, Ben Azai says that it was always done on the 29th of Adar. U'be'echot b'sivan. It wasn't done 2 weeks before Shavuos, it was done just about a week before Shavuos. It was done on the 1st of Sivan. Be'esrim v'tisha ba'av, and it was done on the 29th of Av. Not like Rabbi Akiva, who says Befrois HaChag, which is right at the end of Elul, 15 days before Sukkos. Ben Azai says it's actually done at the end of Av. Reb Lezer v'Reb Shimon Oimrim, Be'echod b'Nisan, the first one is actually not on Chof Tes Adar, and not Befrois HaPesach, rather it's the first of Nisan, Rosh Chodesh Nisan. Be'echod b'Sivan, and the second time is Rosh Chodesh Sivan, and B'chof Tes Be'elul, and the 29th of Elul. V'lama amru v'choftes be'elul v'loy amru be'echod b'tishri. Why Maisa Behema? Why would we have chosen the 29th of Elul over the Rosh Chodesh Tishri? Because we know that for Maisa Behema, the new year, we're going to learn about that more soon, but the new year, see, Maisa Behema's got two, there's always two things we have to take into account. Number one, the three times of the year that the Chachomim said, you have to take Maisa Behema now, until then, or from this point, until you take Maisa, you're not allowed to use your animals, you're not allowed to shech them and eat them. Besides for that, there was another halacha that you're not allowed to take Maisa Behema with 2 years of animals at the same time. I mean, you can't have some animals that were born this year, some animals born next year, and put them all through this gate at once and take Maisa one on the other. That you cannot do. So we hear, and when is Maisa, when is the Rosh Hashanah, when is the beginning of the new year of for the Maisa Behema? So we're going to see, but let's assume now that it's the first of Tishri. So the question is, if so, why do you say that the point in time that you should do the Maisa Behema, why was it in Choftes Elul and not at the beginning of the new year, on the Aleph Tishri? So the Mishnah says, because the first of Tishri is Yom Tov, it's Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to take Maisa Behema. And that is why they made it 1 day earlier on the 29th of Elul. Says the Gemara, Omer Bavo, Kol Han de Taninon, all these that we just learnt in the beginning of the Mishnah, Pras, Befreis HaPesach, Befreis HaTzeres, Befreis HaChag, what does the word Pras mean? Pras means Palga, a halfway line. Palga de Lamed Yom, Kodim Lamoed, halfway of the 30 days before the Yom Tov, Shedoshin Behilchesav, one of the things that we do 30 days before Yom Tov is that Shoyalim V'Doroshim B'Hilchos HaChag, that one starts learning about the halachas of the Yom Tov, and that's one of the halachas. Regarding Pesach, there's a number of other halachas, but for all Chagim, there's 30 days before they would teach the halachas. Halfway through the 30 days, which is 15 days before, is when they would be Torah Min Es HaLishka. Continues the Gemara, V'hein Gronois V'chulu, that the Gronois shall Maisa Behema, the designated dates which the Chachomim said you have to take Maisa Behema, according to Rabbi Akiva, it's the same dates as the Torah Min Es HaLishka. According to Ben Azai, it's more or less the same. It's we saw before. Ben Azai argues on some, and Reb Lezer and Reb Shimon is a third opinion. Says the Gemara, Omer Reb Yechanon, Mipnei Shehein Pirkei Leida. Reb Yechanon explains why. What are these three dates, which is the Choftes Adar, the Befreis HaTzeres, and the Befreis HaChag, what have they got to do with Maisa Behema? Says yes, because those are the three times that the animals typically give birth, at these three times of the year. There are those that give birth before Pesach, there are those that give birth a little bit later, that means before Pesach, which is the end of the winter, and then you've got after Pesach, which is the springtime, and then you've got those who give birth only before Sukkot, at the end of the summer. And since these are the three times where the animals would be born, so it's those three times where now that a whole new batch of animals have been born, the Chachamim said, take Maisa Behema. Rabbi Achav Rav Tanchim Bar Chia B'Shem Rabbi Shua Ben Levi, he says a different reason. He says that is these three times of the year are all close to the times where Klal Yisrael were coming to the Beis Hamikdash to Yerushalayim to be Oile Regel, and what Befreis HaPesach, Befreis HaTzeres, Befreis HaChag, and the Chachamim therefore said from this point on, don't eat. You're not allowed to eat any of the animals until you take Maisa. And even more than that, the Taklin Chadtin explains that people typically preferred not to use the animals, not to shech the animals until they've taken Maisa. It's a mitzvah to take Maisa. And therefore people would delay using their animals until these times. And that what happens from that, what transpired consequent to that, was that these three times there was many, many animals available for sale before the Aliyah L'Regel for people to buy. And since the Chachamim wanted that there should be many animals in the market for the people to buy, they therefore delayed it till these dates in order that at this point on there'll be plenty animals to buy. Omer Abiudon gave a different explanation for these three times, Shelayovu Lidei Baal Ta'achir, and this the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah Daf Hei, that the concept of Baal Ta'achir, which means that once you've made the commitment to bring a korban, to bring something to the Beis HaMikdash, you have to do it the first opportunity. And therefore, as soon as you take Maisa, you have all these animals that have been marked as being Maisa animals, you have to go to the Beis HaMikdash at the first opportunity that you can in order to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, the Chachomim made these times pretty close to the times that people were in any case going up to Yerushalayim, Falil Regel, and that way, very soon after making, after determining which animals were Maisa, they would then take them up to Yerushalayim and not transgress the Aveira of Baal Ta'achir of not delaying. Continues the Gemara, Omer of Yosef, Kol Hamasha Tivloi Oive BeBaal Ta'achir. This is another halacha that anybody who delays taking his tevel, taking the things that need to be taken, trumas maishus, to the Beis HaMikdash, he transgresses Baal Ta'achir. And there's a discussion in the Mefarshim what Rabbi Yosef exactly was trying to tell us and why the Yerushalmi brings it here, but it's something which is not so clear. Continues the Gemara, Chesamud Aleph. Tamon Taninon. We learnt in a Mishnah, Reb Meir Oimer, Be'echod Be'elul Rosh Hashanah L'Maiser Behema. Now we're not talking about the time when they had to take the Maiser, when they had to actually separate the Maiser animals, the tenth animal from all the rest. We're talking about here when the new year starts of the animals, and you're not allowed to take Maiser from one year onto a different year. So Reb Meir says that when is the Rosh Hashanah for the Maiser Behema? So he says it's actually Be'alef Be'elul. And the real truth is that it's not Be'alef Be'elul. I mean, he says it is, but what he means is that those animals that are born before Aleph Elul, they are the ones who, that's the new year. But what's really behind what Reb Meir is saying is the fact that he holds that the determining factor of the year is actually when they conceive, and the new year starts Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and these animals, these smaller animals, they are the female animals are pregnant for 5 months. So if you've got Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, any animal born before Aleph Elul, we know that it conceived before Nisan. So that's 1 year of animals. Any animal that's born after Aleph Elul, we know it conceived after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and that's a new year of animals. So that's the opinion of Reb Meir. Reb Elezer, Reb Shimon, Oimrim, they say Be'echod B'Tishri, they say any animal that's born before Rosh Hashanah, before Aleph Tishri, is 1 year after Aleph Tishri marks a new year. Ben Azza actually wasn't sure whether to follow Reb Meir's opinion or whether to follow Reb Elozer and Reb Shimon's opinion. Therefore, and the difference being animals that are born in the month of Elul. According to Reb Elozer and Reb Shimon, the month of Elul, which is before Aleph Tishri, still belongs to the previous year. According to Reb Meir, Aleph Elul is a new year. So he wasn't sure, so he says we have no choice, we have to separate Elul and say that Elulim, all the animals born in Elul, Mis Asrin Bifne Atzmon, you have to take Maisa from within them of themselves, because you cannot take Maisa of the Elul animals with those that are born before Elul, because according to Reb Meir, Aleph Elul is a new year. You cannot take Maisa from Elul with those that are born after Elul, which is Tishri, because according to Reb Elezer and Reb Shimon, it's a new year. So the Elul ones, according to Ben Azai, have to be taken Maisa of independently. And the Gemara is going to explain. Omer Reb Chuna explains that Reb Meir, Tamad Reb Meir, Ad Kan Hein Mismatzois Leilit Mina Yishonois. Because until this point, until Aleph Elul, they continue giving birth from the Yeshonis, from those animals that conceived before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And according to Reb Meir, at least that's the way Reb Chuna explains it, it's the conception of Rosh Chodesh Nisan which determines the new year. Mikan ve'elech in maschilois leilid min achadoshois, from Aleph Elul, which is more than 5 months after Rosh Chodesh Nisan, then those being born are born from those that were conceived in a new year. That was as far as Reb Meir is concerned. Continues the Gemara, Reb Yosef bar Rav Bun b'shem Reb Chuna, Tamad Reb Elazar v'Reb Shimon. Now the Reb Chuna is going to explain Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, who says that the new year are the animals born on Aleph Tishri. And they base this on a pasuk. The pasuk says in Tehillim, Lovshu Korim Hatzoin, the sheep amongst the flock, they clad, they become pregnant, they conceive. Eilu Abachirois, they are those that conceive early, that's in the month of Adar, and they're going to give birth in the month of Av. Va'amokim Ya'atfu Bor, and those of the valleys, are Ya'atfu Bor, are going to cloak themselves with fodder. This is Eilu Ha'afelois, these are the ones that conceive late, they conceive only in the month of Nisan, and they're going to give birth in Elul. Yisroyahu af yashiru. The literal translation is that they will shout joyfully af yashiru and they will sing. But the way that we understand this is, or the drasha, the way it goes is, Yisroyahu is a loshon of reyim, a loshon of friends, of being together. Af yashiru is from the term of giving maisa. Elu ve'elu, both those that are born in Av, as well as those that are born in Elul, nichnosim ledir, they go into this pen, les aser, in order to take maisa from them. So you see clearly that the animals born in Av and the animals born in Elul, they go in together. It must be that Aleph Tishri sparks the new year, which that is the opinion of Reb Eliezer and Reb Shimon. Omar ben Azai. Ben Azai says, Hoyl ve'elu oimrim kach, ve'elu oimrim kach. Since Reb Meir says, we'll soon see exactly who he's referring to, but at this point it means, since Reb Meir said that it's the first of Elul is the Rosh Hashanah, those born before Rosh Chodesh Elul is 1 year, after Rosh Chodesh Elul is another. And Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon said it's the Aleph Tishri, therefore Yihu Ha'iluliyim, the animals born in Elul, Misasrin Bifnei Atzman. Ha'oketzad, so the practical ramification of that is as follows, Neilad Loi Hei Ba'av, V'hei be'elul, v'hei be'tishri. And we take away the base. Some say it's as referring to dates, others say it's referring, that means, v'hei be'av means the 5th of Av, talking about the dates of the month. Others say it's the amount of animals born. But let's say that 5 animals are born in Av, 5 animals are born in Elul, and 5 animals are born in Tishri, ein mitzdarfin, according to Ben Azai, none of these can group together. You have 3 sets of 5, you can't take Meister from 5, you need 10. Maisa is a tenth. So they do not combine together. Noilad loy hei b'tishri v'hei b'av. But if you have 5 that are born in Tishri and 5 born the following Av, hareilu mitzdarfim, then even according to Ben Azai, they combine to make a group of 10 and you can take Maisa. Continues the Gemara. U'ben Azai machriya al divrei talmidav osa. Reb Meir, Reb Shimon, they were Talmidim of Ben Azai. What does it mean Ben Azai couldn't decide between whether to follow Reb Meir or to follow Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon? If they're his Talmidim, then he can just determine what the halacha is. It's not as if his Talmidim have said something and now he doesn't know which way to go, he doesn't know how to rule, and he has to make Elul on their own. It doesn't make sense. Answers the Gemara, Birmi of Reb Maisha b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Yitzchok, they said, Shekeinechluku olea ovis ha'olam. It's true that Reb Meir, over here, we saw in the Mishnah, Reb Meir argues with Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon, but they weren't the first to argue about this. There were Ovi Sa'olam, which literally means the fathers of the world, but great people of previous generations who already argued. And it was between them that Ben Azai couldn't decide whether to how to rule between the two of them. Umaninu, Ovi Sa'olam. Who were these Ovi Sa'olam they were arguing? Toner Reb Yoina, Kamer Reb Yirmiyah, Reb Shmuel, Reb Akiva. Reb Yehuda said in front of Reb Yirmiyah that the Ovi Sa'olam is Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Akiva. And since Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Akiva already argued if Rosh Hashanah for the behemoth is Aleph Be'elul or Aleph Be'tishri, then Ben Azai said, between Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Akiva, that I can't decide. And Rabbi Shmuel and Reb Akiva, they were clearly not the disciples of Ben Azai. The question was, how much more previous to Ben Azai were they? So the Gemara says, Zoisei Meres, from the fact that the terms that Ben Azai used was, Ben Azai said, Hoyil ve'elu oimrim kach, ve'elu oimrim kach, these say like this and those say like that. We would have expected, if these are your Rebbes, you should say, since one Rebbe of mine said like this, another Rebbe said like this, a Chochem said this, another Chochem said this. What does it mean, elu, these? These is a little bit too similar. It's the way you talk to a colleague, not the way you speak about you speak about a colleague that way, not the way you speak about a Rebbe. So the Gemara determines from that, Zosei Meres ben Azai, Chover v'talmid hoya d'Rebbe Akiva. It must be that ben Azai was a friend, a colleague, and stroke disciple of Rebbe Akiva. Because im teimer Rabbi, because if you're going to say that Rebbe Akiva was his Rebbe of ben Azai, then is Barnosh Omal Rabbi Hoyl ve'elu Omrukach ve'elu Omrukach? Does it make sense? A person speaks about his Rebbe by saying Elu, these say like this and those say like that. That's not appropriate way of speaking about one's Rebbe. Continues the Gemara. Reb Abun b'shem Reb Shmuel bar Yitzchok. Shoma lo min hado. He determined exactly this point that Ben Azai was a Talmud Chover of Rebbe Akiva from a different place. Omale Ben Azai. Because over there was a number in the Mishnayos there in... There's a few places in the Mishnayos where there's a machleikus, Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai, where everybody agrees Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai argued. And there was one case where they agreed that Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai did not argue. Until Rabbi Akiva came along and said, in this particular case, even Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel also argue here as well. So Ben Azai responded to Rabbi Akiva, "Ala chalukin onu mitzdarim." We're pained enough by those places where Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel argue. Elo shebosa, you coming lachle koleinu es hashovim? That even a case where we all assumed there was no machleikas, even there you're going to make them argue. And the fact they used this term shebosa, that you came and didn't say that my Rebbe came, zoi semeres. It's apparent from there that Ben Azai chaver v'talmid hoya l'Rabbi Akiva. He was a colleague stroke disciple in Teimer Rabbi, because if you say that Rabbi Akiva was his Rebbe, is Barnosh Omar l'Rabbi? Is it appropriate for a person to speak about his Rebbe? Elo shebos lachle koleinu es hashovin, that you came now to make that there's a machlokes b'Hillel Silim b'Shammai, even where others thought there was no machlekas, this term shebosso, that you came, is not appropriate unless it was a colleague type of relationship, not if it was a Rebbe to Talmud. Continues the Gemara. Tamon taninon, we learned in a Mishnah in Bechiris. Kol hanri lodin me'echod betishri ad choftes elul. All the animals born from Rosh Hashanah until the 29th of Elul, hare elu mitzdarfim. They all combine, they've all been born in a single year. Chamisha lifnei Rosh Hashanah v'chamisha le'achar Rosh Hashanah. If five animals are born before Rosh Hashanah and five after Rosh Hashanah, ein mitzdarfim, they do not combine. Also another halacha, hei lifnei ha-goyron v'hei le'achar ha-goyron, hare elu mitzdarfim. We saw earlier on in the Gemara, in the Mishnah of Zayin Amud Beis, that there's three times a year that they would take Maaser Behema. And we saw it was Machlekes, Rebbe Akiva, and Ben Azai, and Rebbe Elezer and Rebbe Shimon. But as we mentioned before already, the fact that at a certain point, from here, the Chachomim said, take Maaser Behema from those animals that had already been born, but there's no, if you still have animals that were born from before the previous time you were supposed to take Maaser Sheni, Maaser Behema, and there were animals born after that time, they can combine. For example, we saw Bifrois HaPesach. The Bifrois HaPesach, approximately 15 days before Pesach, according to all opinions, approximately at that time, there was a halacha, you have to take Maaser Behema. But the animals that are born before Pesach, and the animals born after Pesach, animals born before Bifrois HaPesach, and animals born after Bifrois HaPesach, they can still be combined, and you can take Maaser together. That means the fact that it's a different time, that the Chachomim said, a different Geiron, a different designated time, which is a breakup point, from here, you're not allowed to eat your animals or shech them until you take Maaser Behema, that does not mean that the animals born before and after it are considered a different year and they do combine for Maaser. Says the Gemara, Omer B'Yosef, Hadoi Meres. So from the fact that you're saying that it's dependent on Rosh Chodesh Tishri, any animal that is born Rosh Chodesh Tishri, that means Rosh Chodesh Tishri is the beginning of the new year for Maaser Behema. It's Rosh Hashanah for the Maaser Behemas. Says the Rabbi Yosef, Hadoi Meres, the Maaser Behema, Loi Osu, Oisa, Loi Kechonot, V'loi Keshlish. And just very very brief introduction. In regular maestras, trumas and maestras of produce, of fruits and things that grow, the halacha is that at what point in the development of a fruit is a fruit called, let's say, born? The fruit is, till now we've been speaking about an animal born before this date or born after this date. When is a fruit born? So the halacha is that with all fruits, it's b'shas chanota, the time that it emerges, the time that the flower falls off, and you start seeing the fruit. That is called the fruit, so to speak, is now emerged, is chanota. And we know that regarding fruits, Tu Bishvat is the new year. So any fruits that have chanota before Tu Bishvat, that's 1 year. Chanota after Tu Bishvat is a different year. Regarding tvua, grains, and zeisim, and olives, with them, it happens to be that the Rosh Hashanah is in Tishri, is Aleph Tishri, that's one point. And besides for that, it's not chanota. Over there, it's a shlish. When they've grown a third of the amount they have to grow to be ripe, to be mature, that point, I mean, if before Rosh Hashanah they've grown a third, then at that point, it's considered from the previous year. If it grows a third, if it reaches a third of its growth after Rosh Hashanah, it's the new year. So the question is, how do we compare? That's as far as a regular chumasomysis of fruits and grains and olives. The question is, how does that compare with animals being born? So it goes like this. Chanota is, which is when a fruit first emerges, that would be similar to conception. To an animal conceiving, that's chanota, that's when the fruit, when the child starts developing. The shlish, as we saw regarding the grains and the olives, the time is when it grows a shlish. A shlish is the time when you can take this produce and you can use it, you can bring it as a korban. It's something which is usable. These animals, there's a halacha that you can only bring an animal to a korban after 8 days, from the eighth day when it's born, not in the first week after it's born. So, and that would be considered the shlish. Growing a shlish means that it's now mature and ready to be used. An animal can only be shechted from after the eighth day. So the question is, in tamer kechanot, if you're going to say that the maisa behema is similar to fruits, which is chanota when they emerge, then listen, kolamu uborim mi'echod b'tishri. Ad esrimatesha be'elul. Then did we just learn in a Mishnah that the Gemara just quoted that the Maitzah Behema is anything that's born in 1 year, starting with Rosh Hashanah, ending with the last day of the year, Choftes Elul? Why don't you say anything that conceived then, similar to Chanota? In Toimer Kishlish, if you're going to say that it's similar, that Maitzah Behema should be similar to the shlish of grains and olives, listen, kol hanilodim ad esrim v'shnaim be'elul. Then you should say that anything which is born before the 22nd of Elul, not including the 22nd of Elul, because only then, when it actually comes to Rosh Hashanah, it will be mature enough to be able to be brought to the Beis Hamikdash. It will be that before Rosh Hashanah, it's grown a third, it's mature, it can be brought. Anything born from Chof Beis Elul, when Rosh Hashanah comes, it cannot yet be brought as a korban in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not yet compared to having grown a third. So that's the question of the Gemara. That's actually a statement. Rabbi Yossi said that it seems from here that Maisa Behema is not compared to Chanota and not compared to Shlish. Says the Gemara, Reb Shammai b'shem Rebivi b'Rebchia, k'shlish osu. Reb Shammai said that it's like a shlish. And we asked the question, if you're comparing Maisa Behema to shlish, then it should be that by time Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the new year, it should be mature and ready to be brought ready to be taken Maisa. You cannot take Maisa if Maisa is a korban. And till the eighth day, you cannot bring it korban. So if it's born after, from Chof Beis Elul and on, how can you say that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, this animal is now mature? No. So the Gemara says that Kishlish Osa Oysa, Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon held that the Maisa Behema is similar to a Shlish, And actually, it's kedaite, it's following his own opinion. The Omer Reb Shimon, Reb Shimon holds that mechusar zman nichnas ledir leis aser. He actually says that even an animal before 8 days old, he's actually allowed to go through the pen and be marked as meiser. You won't actually be able to bring it as a korban then, but it's allowed to be marked. You can make it into meiser as soon as after it's born. And therefore, according to Reb Shimon himself, it's fine. We can understand that Rosh Hashanah, if anything born before Rosh Hashanah, is already considered like Shlish, it can be taken Meiser from, and is from the same year. Says the Gemara, Kom Reb Mono im Reb Shammai. Reb Mono, he stood up with Reb Shammai. Omar Lein, he said to him, At Omrus Hado Milsa, did you actually say this, you Reb Shammai, that it's Reb Shimon himself who explained and Reb Shimon held that, and we know it was actually Reb Elazar and Reb Shimon who say Aleph B'Tishri. We saw that before, that the Rosh at the beginning of the Omer, that Reb Shimon holds that Be'echod B'Tishri is the Rosh Hashanah. So he said to Reb Shammai, did you actually say that Reb Shimon himself, Reb Shimon holds Aleph B'Tishri, even animals born the day before Rosh Hashanah, it's considered similar to a Shlish, because Lemaisa you can take Maisa from them. So he said, Omalei, and he said, yes. So he asked him a question. Hotamon Tonino, and that's all very good. Reb Shimon obviously holds of Reb Shimon. But let's try and look a bit deeper into this. There's not only Reb Shimon, you had Ben Azai. Ben Azai himself, Tanmon Taninon, Ben Azai Omer, He'eluliim mis Asrin Atzmon. Ben Azai said, Elul, any animal born in Elul is on its own, because I don't know if the first of Tishri is the Rosh Hashanah for the animals, or if the first of Elul. So Eluls have to be on their own. It says, Loi afilu noilad ad esrim etisha be'elul. There's no good reason in the world to assume that Ben Azai follows Reb Shimon. So Ben Azai will definitely probably hold that you cannot put the animals that are born from before Chof Beis Elul, that means those animals that are born Chof Beis, Chof Gimel, Chof Dalet Elul, they will be too young to be taken Meiser from when it comes to Aleph Tishri. And did Ben Azai not say that animals born in the whole of Elul are an entity of their own and a different year to those that are born after Elul from Tishri? Well, no reason that Ben Azai follows Reb Shimon. Noilad ad esrim etisha be'elul islach lemeimar ben Azai k'Reb Shimon. There's no reason in the world that Ben Azai should follow Reb Shimon. So how are you going to explain Ben Azai? You Reb Shammai, who explained that Reb Shimon holds, like his own opinion, that the reason Aleph Tishri, anything born before Aleph Tishri, even if it's just a day or two before Rosh Hashanah, is still in the same year, even though when Aleph Tishri comes, those animals are not ripe. You cannot make the Meiser, and you said it's only Reb Shimon who says you can take Meiser even when they're too young. Ben Azai, he's not going to follow Reb Shimon. So how are you going to understand the Ben Azai? Elo, k'modat Omar al Ben Azai. How are you going to have to explain Ben Azai? That manichon l'shon haba, v'hein min misasrim im b'nei elulin. How are you going to explain Ben Azai? That Ben Azai actually holds that all those born in Elul, they are a year of their own. And it's true that you cannot take Meiser. If an animal is born 2 days before Rosh Hashanah, then when time Rosh Hashanah comes, you cannot take Meiser from it. But what Ben Azai holds will have to hold is that it's still considered an Elul baby. That means even though by the beginning of the new year, it's not yet mature, it's not yet ripe, but that doesn't mean that this animal is going to belong to the next year. However, he's not going to hold of what Reb Shimon says, and he'll hold you cannot take Maisa from it in Elul, because it's not yet 8 days old. So how are you going to do that? You're going to have to wait till 8 days on, and now that it's 8 days old, you'll take Maisa on this animal, but only with other animals that were also born in Elul. I mean, it's true that at the point of, according to Reb Shimon, at the point of Rosh Hashanah, you could have taken Meiser on these animals. Ben Azai will say, no, you can't take Meiser, but when you take Meiser 8 days down the line, you'll have to take Meiser together with the animals that are born in Elul. That's how you're going to have to explain Ben Azai. So, Kain at Omar al-Rabbonon, and therefore the Rabbonon of this Mishnah that you quoted a few lines earlier, who says that anything born from Rosh Hashanah, Yerub Shammai said, it doesn't have to be. It could be, even if the Rabbanon in this Mishnah argued that with Reb Shimon, they can still say that Rosh Hashanah is the break-off point from the birth. You're going to ask me a question that animals that are born are from Chof Beis Elul and on, that when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, they're not mature enough to take Maaser. The answer is you're right. You cannot take Maaser, but they still belong to the previous year. And therefore, wait a few years down the few days down the line till they're 8 days old, and then take Maaser on those animals only with other animals that were also born the previous year. Kena to Omar al-Durabonon, that manichon l'shon abo, you wait to take the Maaser, you wait till the next year, after Rosh Hashanah, v'hein mis asrim in b'nei shenoson, and you take Maaser with the animals that were born with the year before them. That means before Rosh Hashanah. And which means that if you knew that there were five animals about to be born, or you knew that five animals were born within the last week before Rosh Hashanah, then keep another five animals separate from Elul, according to Ben Azai, according to the Rabbonon here, it's from the previous year. Keep them separate, don't take Maaser for them, from them. Wait till a few days into the next year. And now, a few days into the next year, all the animals are old enough to take Maaser. Take all those animals that have been left over from the previous year and take Maaser on them independently. That's how the Gaon explains and the Taklin Chattin explains this Gemara. Continues the Gemara. Omer Abchia, Zoysei Meres. So what have we seen till now? What we've seen all along is that from the time that these animals are born, that marks their year. If they're born before Rosh Hashanah or before Aleph Elul, whenever it is, it's the day that they're born when it starts. And there's no major relevance to the day that they become fit to be able to be taken Maaser from, which is 8 days on. We know that the same b'chayr, for example, you have to bring it as a korban in the first year. When does the first year start? It doesn't start 8 days after it was born, which is the first time you can bring it as a korban. No, it starts from when it was born. And that first week of Mechusar Zman is included in the year, and we count the year from when it's born. Omer Reb Mono, Omer Reb Yoino, Abba, Shoma Lo Min Hado, that Reb Mono said, Omer Rabbi Mono, Omer Rabbi Yoino Abba. Rabbi Mono said that my father Rabbi Yoino, he actually shoma lo min hado. He actually determined this from the pasuk. What does it say in the pasuk regarding bechir? The pasuk says, "Kol ha-bechir asher yivolid." Any bechir that will be born in your herd, in your flock, then the pasuk says, "Bevkorcho v'tzoincho azochor taktish l'Hashem elikecho." That as if to say that as soon as the bechir is born, as it's born, it's already got its kedusha. Okay, Tzad. What does it mean it's got Kedusha from when it's born? You can't bring it up as a korban yet when it's born. You can only bring it up 8 days later. The pasuk is coming to impress on us that as soon as it's born, it's ready Kodesh, and the year of the Kedushas HaBachor, by when it has to be brought to the Beis HaMikdosh, that year starts as soon as it's born. It's true that you cannot bring it as a korban for the first 8 days, but the year of the Kedusha starts immediately when it's born. Continues the next Mishnah, Halacha Beis. B'sholoish kupois, shel sholoish sholoish so'in. As we mentioned before, three times a year somebody would go and remove, withdraw money from this chamber and put them each time into three boxes. And each box held three saw. Toir minis halishka, that means they would use these three boxes, each of three saw, when they would withdraw money from the chamber. Because of Alein, it would be important, and we'll learn later on in the Masechta why it was important, but it was important to write on them that it should be a clear distinction which was the first box, the second box, and third box that was filled. Because of Alein, they would write Aleph, Beis, Gimel. Rabbi Shmuel says Yovonis, they would actually write it with the Greek lettering, Kosuv Aleim Alpha Beta Gamma. These were the Greek letters that they were accustomed to at the time, and they would use those letters instead. Continues the Mishnah. Ein HaTorim Nichnas. The person that was appointed by the treasurer to withdraw the money from the chamber into these boxes, he would not go into this chamber. Loiba Paragud Chafus, not with a long hemmed garment. V'loi b'min'al, not with shoes. V'loi b'sandal, not with sandals. V'loi b'tfilin, v'loi b'kamir, not with an amulet. Shema, the main issue here is that we're afraid that he may take some of the coins from the chamber and steal them himself. The way the Mishnah puts it down is that Shemo Ya'ani, maybe this person who's removing the money will ultimately lose his fortune, lose his money. V'yoymeran, people will say, Me'avoyna lishka he'ani, he stole some money from the chamber, and as a punishment, Hashem took away all his money. Oy Shemo, or possibly what will happen is, Yashir, this person will become rich. V'yoymeran, people will say, Mitrumas halishka he'ashir, he took some money from the chamber, that's where he's got his riches from. She'odom tzorich lotzis yudea briyos, it's important for a person to be clean and innocent in the eyes of people, kederech shu tzorich lotzis yudei amokim, exactly the same way as it's important that with Hashem a person should be clean. Shenemer, as it says in the pasuk, v'yisem nikiim me'Hashem u'mi'Yisrael. Make sure to always be perceived as innocent in Hashem's eyes and in the eyes of the fellow Klal Yisrael. V'omer, and it says in another pasuk, Umotzo chein, find favor of a seichel toiv and a good understanding, be'ene elukim v'odom, in the eyes of Hashem and man. Says the Gemara, Tamon taninon, we learnt in the Mishnah, mefanin afilu dalud v'chomesh kupois. And this is talking about Hilchas Shabbos. In certain circumstances, one was allowed to move one's allowed to move some boxes. Four or five boxes. Over there was an issue of making space that the Talmidim should learn, and they had these boxes of straw. This is Sugi and Shabbos Tav Kuf Chavav. And it just says four or five boxes, but the Mishnah doesn't actually tell us how big those boxes are. Rabbi Zeira Shal of Rabbi Yashia, was Rabbi Zeira who asked Rabbi Yashia, Kamohu Shi'urin Shel Kupois. What's the size of the kupois, of those boxes the Mishnah in Maseches Shabbos was talking about? Omar Le, so Rabbi Yashia said to Rabbi Zeira, Nilmoid Sosum in Amafurush. Over there it speaks about boxes and doesn't tell you the size. Here in the Mishnah it speaks about boxes and it tells us the size. There were three saw each. So we can assume that boxes that are not sized, that we don't know how big they are, that the Mishnah there means boxes that are three saw. And now on a similar note, the Tani we learnt in the Braisa, B'sholish Kupay Shal Sholish Sholish Soin, that they would remove the money with three boxes of three saw each, Shehem Teisha Soin. Every time that they would remove the money, they would remove nine saw of coins. Shehein Esther and Meshiva Soin, over the whole year, they would have removed 27 saw. Three times three boxes, three times a year is 27 saw. Toyman and Salishka, they would withdraw money from this chamber. The cost of Aleim, and on these boxes would be written Aleph Beis Gimel, as we saw in the Mishnah. Mipneima, cost of Aleim, Aleph Beis Gimel. Why was it important to write Aleph Beis Gimel? Loimar, to tell us that mistapik min arishoino koidem lishnio, that you should first make sure to finish taking the coins from the first box before the second box, umin ashnio koidem lishlishis, and these are details we're going to see later, exactly what that means, whether it was total wait till it was completely emptied out or not till it was completely emptied out, that's going to be a topic later on, but in order to know, it was important, there was a sequence of how those boxes were emptied, and they had to be in order, and therefore they were numbered 1, 2, 3. And as similar as we saw here, that there was a Mishnah in Shabbos that just spoke about boxes and didn't tell us the size of the boxes, and we were nilmoit sosum in Amafurush, we learnt the sosum, the unclear, from a place which is clear, namely our Mishnah, and this Braisa. A similar concept we find, tamon taninon hamoitzi yayin, if somebody carries on Shabbos, from one Roshus to another, or in Roshus HaRabim, carrying on Shabbos is one of the Lamates Melachis. And how, but different food items are called significant, that when you carry them, it's considered a significant activity of carrying, to be chayev, different food items have a different measure. So it says there, that amoitzi yayin, when you remove wine, kidei maziga sakois, as if we know that wine was made, it's undiluted wine, which you then dilute in order to, it should be tasty and drinkable. How much undiluted wine is significant to carry? Kidei maziga sakois, as much as you need to dilute in a cup. But the Mishnah there doesn't tell us how big a kois is. And again, Rabbi Zeira Shaul Esubishaya, Esubyashia, kamo shi'uron shel kois, how much is a kois? I know that the ratio of wine to water is 1:3. One portion, one measure of wine to three portions, three measures of water. But how big is the cup? To know how much is the measure of wine that's going to be diluted, which is going to be significant. Omale, so again, Rabbi Yashia said to Rabbi Zeira, Nilmoit Sosum in Amafurush. It's true that over there, Sosum, it's not clear, but elsewhere there's a Mishnah that's explicit. The Tanya Rabchia, Arba Kaisis, the four Kaisis that we drank on Seder night, Sha'amru, that we know that the Chachamim said you have to drink on Pesach night, Yeshnon revius shel yain beitalki, that for each of these cups has to be a revius of wine. Echod chai ve'echod mazuk, irrespective of whether it's diluted or undiluted, a cup has to be a revius. And it just mentions yain italki because everyone knew that wine and knew that they would dilute it on a ratio of 1:3. So you see there clearly that it's a revius. So too, when carrying amount of undiluted wine, that's significant is the amount that you need for a cup, which is a revius. So it's a quarter of a revius of undiluted wine is significant because when you dilute it with 3/4 water, it makes a full cup of drinkable wine. So asks now the Gemara, v'kamo shi'uron shel koisis. Okay, so you've told us that a kois is a revius, but tell us in practical terms, how do we know what's a revius? How much is a revius? We know it's a quarter of the loig. A loig is a biblical measurement. A quarter of that. How much is that in practical terms? Reb Ovin Omar, titzratoin v'revia. The 1 1/4 of measures that were commonly known by the people called titzratoin, 1 1/4 of those, that is a revius, which we're talking about. That's the girsa of the Goyen here. Continues the Gemara. And we've skipped quite a number of lines. Mahu lishtoisom bekrach achas. Now that we've spoken about the arba koisas, we're going to learn some more halachas about the four koisas. What about if somebody drinks them together? That means he doesn't drink all of them in sequence. That means with a gap in between them. First he makes kiddush and drinks one cup. Then he says that God drinks another cup. Then he has his meal and says birchas hamazon, another cup. Then he finishes halil with another cup. What happens if at some point two of the cups are drunk right next to each other? Mida omar Rabbi Mono omar Rabbi Yosi. Halil. Since Rabbi Yosi said that if you heard halil im shomon bebeis haknesses, you heard it in shul, yotza, your yotza, and you do not need to say the halil again at the seder table, what's going to happen then? You're going to bench. You're going to say Birchas Hamazon and have your third kois. You don't need to say Halil again, but you need to have your fourth kois. You're going to drink your fourth kois immediately after drinking the third kois. Hadar Omro, so from there you see that Imshoson Bekrach Echod, even if you drank two cups right next to each other, one after the other, Yotza, your Yotza, and it's considered as if it was two koises. Continues the Gemara, Mao Lishtoison Bepiskon. How about if you're drinking them with small gulps? You don't drink the whole thing down in one shot. You drink it slowly, says the Gemara. Klum omru elo sheyishte loy sheyishtakir. And this we've seen elsewhere in the Gemara, that the reason that the Chachomim didn't want people to drink cups of wine between the third and fourth kois, they didn't want him to get drunk. So you see that a primary focus was to make sure that they would drink the cups but not get intoxicated over the cups. And so obviously, if you drink it slowly, then one of the ways to drink wine and not become intoxicated is to drink it slowly. If you gulp down, that's when you have the real pleasure and the real effect of the wine. So drinking it slowly, which was going to prevent becoming drunk, that is certainly something which is yotze, it's allowed. Continues the Gemara. Mao lotes b'yayin shel shvius. We know that in Shemitah, at a certain point in time when food items are no longer available in the fields, then if a person has some of those items in his home, he has to make them hefker. He's not allowed to keep them in his home. So what happens if that point of time has arrived and now wine has to be made hefker and he wants to drink this wine for the Dalet Kaisis? Mao lotzeis b'yayin shel shvius, says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Ishia, yotzin b'yayin shel shvius, you are yotza, since it's a mitzvah to drink the wine, and mitzvah is lav lehonu is nitnu, it's not considered as if I'm having personal pleasure from it, I'm just doing a mitzvah with it, and therefore, even though you have to be mafkir it, it's mutar to use the wine for the arba kaisis. Ma ulotis bekunditin, is one allowed to be yetsa arba kaisis with spiced wine? That's wine with added spices to them. Midatoni bar kapora, kunditin kiyain. Since bar kapora said that regarding many other halachas, kunditin has the same status as wine, hada amra yotzin b'yain kunditin. And we determine from there that even arba kaisis you can be yetsa with spiced wine. Ma ulotis b'yain mezugin. What is one allowed to be yaitza with diluted wine? So midatoni Reb Chiya. Since Reb Chiya said arba kaisis she'amru yaitzin behen bein chayin bein mezugin, Reb Chiya said that you're allowed to be yaitza revius each cup of wine with a revius of wine, either diluted or not diluted, or in its plain state before it was diluted, or bilvad shehebein tam, on condition that it's got the taste of wine. Sometimes when wine is undiluted and it's very strong, it doesn't even have the taste of wine. That not. As long as it has the taste of wine, even if it's not diluted, it's okay. Umara yain also has to have the look of wine, has to look like wine. Make sure that if it's diluted, it's not diluted so much that it no longer looks like wine, and then you cannot be yetzer. But providing it looks like wine and tastes like wine, then you can be yetzer, irrespective of whether it's diluted or not. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, mitzvah lotzis b'yayin odim. Even though any wine is considered wine, but it's preferable to use red wine. Shenemer, as it says in the Pasuk, al tere yayin ki yis adam, do not set sight on wine that is red, because that's a wine that has a particularly strong effect on a person, beware. So you see, and over there it's talking about losing one's judgment when intoxicated. So you see from there that the most opportune, or the best type of wine is called kiyis adam, a red wine. So you see that when the mitzvah of four cases, which is wine, it's preferable to use red wine. V'shel mozug bekama, when you're drinking diluted wine, how much do you have to drink? Nishma inay min hado hamoytzi yain kedei mezig asakois, like we saw before. Now on Shabbos, what's called a significant carrying? If you have a kois full, what's a kois full? That a kois, which we saw as a revius, which is diluted, mezig asakois, a quarter of a measure, a quarter of a revius of wine, three quarters of water. So that is when you have maziga, when you dilute the wine, then a kais is one quarter wine, three quarters water. Ma'o lot is b'yayin mevushel, is one allowed to be yotze the arba kaisis with cooked wine? Omer Rabbi Yoina says, min mad toni, from the fact that we learned that mevushel is kumatuvel, that cooked wine has the same status as spiced wine, then yotzin b'yayin mevushel. Then you can be yetzer with cooked wine, because we saw before kunditin, which is matubal, which is spiced wine, you can be yetzer. And this is Rabbi Yoina Letame. The reason that Rabbi Yoina was looking for a way to drink wine that was somewhat weaker and less powerful, namely cooked wine, was from his own personal experience. Rabbi Yoina kad have shossi arba kasi de pischa, when Rabbi Yoina used to drink, after he would drink four cups of wine, have a chozik reisha ad chaga. He would feel it in his head, he would have headaches, or he would feel it until the chag, which the Korban Eidah says is referring to Shavuos. Continues the Gemara, Chamitei Chode Matronisa. There was this princess, or this royalty, this woman, that noticed Rabbi Yoina, that was up in the Nehirin, that his face was shining. Omra, so she said to him, Saba, Saba, Elder, Chode mehanitlas milin izboch. I'm taking it for granted that your face is shining and seems intoxicated, for that obviously one of the following three apply to you. Oide shasui chamra, either that you're intoxicated from wine, at oide malve beribisat, or you're just feeling very on top of the world because you're lending money, taking interest, and you're making a big profit. Oide megadli chazerat, or you're breeding chazerim, pigs, which also is very profitable. Omar Loi answered her back, Tipach Rucha, he cursed her spirit, Dahi it's of that woman. The Chodome Alin Tlas Mile, not one of those three that you mentioned, lesbi. I don't have them. Why? Because number one, becoming drunk is something which is inappropriate. And besides for it being inappropriate, as we saw before, wine actually harmed Rabbi Yonah. And as far as Malve Beribis, it's an Issa in the Torah, of course he wasn't doing that. And being Megadal Chazerim, he wasn't doing that either, as the Gemara in Baba Kama Pei Bei says, it's also to be Megadal Chazerim. So how was he explaining the fact that he was looking intoxicated, his face was very shiny? Says the Gemara, Ela ulfena shchiachli, my learning is easily accessible to me. I'm very deeply engrossed in my Torah learning. The Hochik Siv, it says in the Pasuk, Chochmas Odom, the wisdom of a person, Toyer Ponov, lightens up his face. Another incident, Bavo Osila Tveria. Bavo came to Tveria. Chamune Talmidoi de Rabbi Yochanan, Apoi Nohirin. The Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan noticed that Bavo had come to Tveria, his face was shining. Omron Talmidim Rabbi Yochanan. The Talmidim came to Rabbi Yochanan. They said, Ashkach Rabbi Avohu Simo. It seems that Rabbi Avohu has found a treasure, and that's why his face is glowing like that. Also Legabe. So Rabbi Yochanan came to Rabbi Avohu. Omar Lein said to him, he took it for granted he hadn't found some physical treasure. He wanted to know, he's obviously on a high. My Oiraisa Chadata Shamas, you've obviously heard a Chiddush in Torah. Tell me what Chiddush in Torah that you've just learnt that's making you look this way. Omar Lei, he said, Tosefta Atikon, old Brisa of a Tosefta that I hadn't known before, that hadn't been accessible before, it's now chanced upon it and I've learnt it, and that's why I'm looking the way I am. Koroleo, they said on the Pasuk, on him, Chochmas Odom Toyer Ponov, a person's wisdom lightens up his face. Omer Rabchanin said that Luga do Iraisa, you want to know how much is a loig, because a revius is a quarter of a loig. How much is a loig, a biblical loig, is Tmunosa Atika. Tmunosa is the name of an old utensil, so Tmunosa Atika, an old Tmunosa, Dumuraisa de Tzipuri, that the people in Tzipuri would use for fish fats. Omer Rabbi Yonah said, V'chochmana ano, I remember the base Rabbi Yanai, that in the home of Rabbi Yanai have a mechilin bodvash. They would measure in this Tmunosa Atika, they would measure honey in it. Asks the Gemara two lines later, the Goyen skips that line, V'lomo kori le'atika. Why is it called an old Tmunosa? If Rabbi Yonah is saying that he remembers them using it, it means it was a utensil that was used in those days. So what's old about it? What's ancient about it? Says the Gemara, Min begin de hava b'yoyma ze'ira. Because at first, in his days, this was a smaller utensil. V'rovsa, and then this very utensil, they started manufacturing it in a larger fashion. V'izira, kamel de hava. And then afterwards, after they made this tmunosa, they made it larger, they then started remanufacturing it in its previous smaller fashion, and that's what he said. Tmunosa Atika, the original size of the Tmunosa. Atika doesn't mean it was ancient, it means it was the more previous size, which was the smaller size, that was the loig of the Oiraisa. Continues the Gemara. Kamo Hushir Shel Kois. What's the size of a Kois, if you want to measure a cup, how do you know it can hold a revius? Rabbi Yosi b'shem Rabbi Yosi bar Pazi ben Pazi, Rabbi Yosi bar Bivi b'shem Rabbi Shmuel. They said it was etzpo'ayim, two fingers' breadth. Al etzpo'ayim, by two fingers' breadth. Al rum etzba or mechza or shlish etzba, by 1.83 etzbois. And that gives the measure of a utensil that can hold a revius. And this is not exactly this does not exactly conform with what we learnt in Psochim, that it's not 2 by 2 by 1.83, rather it's 2 by 2 by 2.7, and that's something which Tosfos in Psochim discusses. Continues the Gemara. Tony, Yovesh Kezais, Divir Ibnosen. If you have wine, undiluted wine that's congealed, you cannot dilute it because you cannot dilute something congealed. The amount that you'd have to eat, stroke, drink of this wine is a kezayis, because a revius of fluid wine, when it congeals, is the size of a kezayis. Rabbanon de Kistri, Rabbi Yosi bar Bivi b'shem Shmuel, Asya de Rabbi Nosson k'Rav Yosi bar Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Nosson is following the opinion of Rabbi Yosi bar Rav Yehuda, and this is quoted, an opinion that's quoted in Maseches Shabbos, Daf Ayin Zayin, regarding the blood of a novella, that we know that a novella itself only makes something else tummy when it's a kazayis. And the question is, the blood is not a kazayis. Kazayis is a solid measure. How much liquid blood of a novella is going to make something else tummy? The amount of liquid that in its solid state is a kazayis. And Rabbi Yossi, and over there we saw over there that Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda holds there that the measure of a revius of blood is the liquid's measure of a kazayis in its solid state. That revius lekesh yikrash viebe kazayis. That a revius, when it's congealed, is a kazayis, and that's as much as one needs for novella to be metame something else. Reb Simon b'shem Reb Yeshua ben Levi. There was an incident. Reb Simon said in the name of Reb Yeshua ben Levi the following: Ma'isa b'preidas Rebbe. There was a mule in the home of Rebbe. Shemesa that died. V'tiaru es domo mishum novella. And some of the blood of this novella, dead animal, came out. And there was a discussion on whether, in the same way as the novella itself, a kazayis of the novella makes things can make something tummy, does the blood make tummy? And they said it's tohir. V'shoal Reb Eliezer es Reb Simon. Reb Eliezer asked Reb Simon, you Reb Simon said in the name of Reb Yeshua ben Levi that in the home of Rebbe they said it was tohir. The question is, ad kama, is it any amount of blood? Do we just say that blood of a novella is never going to make something else tummy, only the flesh of the novella? Or no, is it only because it was just a little bit of blood, but had there been a certain measure of blood, it would have been tummy? And Reb Simon just ignored, he paid no attention to Reb Eliezer's question. V'shoal Reb Yeshua ben Levi. So he went to Reb Yeshua ben Levi, who's actually the one who we saw before that Reb Simon said over in the name of Reb Yeshua ben Levi. So they said, okay, let's ask Reb Yeshua ben Levi what the story was there. V'omale, Reb Yeshua ben Levi told Reb Eliezer, ad revius tohir. Like we saw before, if there's blood less than revius, then it's not enough blood that in its solid state would be a kazayis, and therefore it's tohir. But indeed, if there would be a revius of blood, it would be metame. If there's more than a revius of blood, then of the novella, it will be tomei. Rebeliezer was very upset at al deloy chozar le Reb Simon shmoso. Why did Reb Simon just ignore him? Why didn't Reb Simon answer him? Reb Bivi have a Yosef masni hodein uvda. Reb Bivi was sitting and he was repeating over this whole story that there was blood from the mule in the home of Rebbe, and it was said in the name of Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi that it was Tohir. Omele Rabbi Yitzchok bar Bisneka, or Rabbi Yitzchok bar Kahana, Rabbi Yitzchok asked to Rav Bivi, ad revius Tohir, can it be taken for granted that its only reason it was Tohir was because it was up to revius, Yosem Mikan Tomei, but more than a revius is indeed going to be tummy, which is the truth. We know that Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said that. But here, when Rav Bivi said over the story, the incident, he just said over the dry facts, as Rav Simon said over from Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, that they said that the blood was tohir. So here Rabbi Yitzchok asked Rav Bivi, can we assume it's only because there was less than a revius of blood? Ubaadbe, he disregarded him. Rav Bivi disregarded Rabbi Yitzchok's question. Omale, Reb Zrika asked Reb Bivi, "Begin the shoylecha at boed bay." Reb Yitzchok asked you a question. Why are you disregarding him? Omer lehi, so Reb Bivi said, "Begin the lehavas day to be." You're right. I didn't mean to ignore him. Just my mind was elsewhere. Was otherwise distracted. Why? And that's why I did not give him his deserving attention. Why? The Omer of Chonon, Rav Chonon said on this posuk, "V'hoyu," it's a posuk in Dvarim, "V'hoyu chayecho tluim l'cho mineged." There's a concept of a person whose life is hanging in the balance. He doesn't feel secure in his life. What type of person doesn't feel secure? Ze shelokeach chitim l'shona. It's somebody who buys wheat. He doesn't have his own fields to grow, to harvest the wheat. So he buys a year's supply of wheat every year. And he doesn't know next year, will there be wheat available? Will the prices go up? So he feels his life is in the balance. And then the pasuk continues, "Opochadeto laila v'yomam." There's a concept of a person who's afraid night and day. Who's that? Ze'alekeach min asidki. That's somebody who buys grain from a merchant, and he doesn't know whether the next time, he doesn't buy a whole year in advance, and he doesn't know if the next time he's going to need to buy, if it's going to be available, and what the prices will be. And the pasuk finishes off, lo tamin b'chayecho, that you won't feel sure about your life. Ze'alekeach min apeltor, that's somebody who buys bread from the baker, and he doesn't know whether the next time he's hungry, the baker's going to have anything to sell him. Va'anor of Bibi said, samichna apeltor, unfortunately, I'm relying on this palter, on the baker, and therefore my mind wasn't with it, and therefore I didn't respond to Rav Bivi. So the Gemara asks, "Umau kadun?" Okay, so what was the halacha? What's the bottom line? If you have blood of a nevela, which is more than a revius, is it tomei? Is it not? Says the Gemara that we saw in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, "Hey, Rabbi Yeshua ben Pesira." Rabbi Shua ben Pesaira testified, al dam nevela shuhu toir. He just said that dam of nevela is toir. Mau toir. So the Gemara wants to bring proof from there that it's toir. It doesn't matter how much. Even if you've got more than a revius, it's always toir. Asks the Gemara, maybe not. Mau toir. Maybe when he said toir, he just meant toir melehachshir. We know that food items, in order to be able to become tomei, they have to be first susceptible to becoming tomei, and that's by one of the seven liquids touching it. One of them is blood. So it could be that only blood that was shechted, blood of an animal that was shechted, and flowed, when it was shechted, flowed out of the throat of the animal, that blood, when it touches a food item, makes it susceptible. But blood from a nevela, from an animal that just died, maybe that blood is not machshir. Aval Metamei is metamei, but maybe it can be metamei. How can you assume that the blood of a nevela is never metamei? Says the Gemara, no, tamon taninon. We learnt in the Mishnah, and it's going to be apparent in this Mishnah, that it's not possible to say that Rabbi Yeshua ben Pesaira, who said that ben Pesaira, who said that dam nevela is tohir, that he only means that it's not machshir other things, but in and of itself, it is tomei if it's a revius. No, it can't be. Because we learnt in the Mishnah, dam hasheretz kibsori, that like the flesh of a sheretz, which is creatures that have a tomei, the blood is also tomei. Metame ve'enei machshir, and even though it itself is tomei and can make things tomei, but it is not able to be machshir other things to becoming tuma. Ve'ein lo nukiyetzaboy, and there's no other example of that. There's no other example of something which is enei machshir and is tomei. And therefore, when Rabbi Yehuda ben Pesaira says that dam nevela is tohir, you cannot say that it's only tohir, that it's enei machshir, but it could be that in and of itself, it is tomei itself, that you cannot say, because we saw that's something which is unique to dam sheretz. But any other dam nevela, the blood of any other animal, if it's tomei itself, it's also going to be machshir. And if Rabbi Yehuda ben Pesaira says that it's toir, it must be not only is it toir from being machshir, it's toir itself, and doesn't make anything else tomei, even if there's a revius. Says the Gemara, no. Dilma, maybe, this that it says in the Mishnah that there's something unique about the sheretz is not the fact that it can make something else. It is tomei and makes something else tomei, but it cannot be machshir or something else. It doesn't make other food items susceptible to becoming tomei. Maybe that's not what the Mishnah means, that dama sheretz kibsori mitamei ve'ein machshir ve'ein lo nukiyetzaboy. Do you know what it means, ein lo nukiyetzaboy? What's unique about dam sheretz is that it's kibsori, that the blood and the sheretz and the flesh have the same measure. Dilma l'shir tum osoy, shedomoy metame kibsori. What's unique with the sheretz is that the measure of the flesh that's metame is bekadosha, is like the size of a lentil. So too the blood is the size of a lentil, will be metame. And that's unique to dam, to sheretz, because other nevela, it's not like that. The meat itself, which is metame, is a kezayis, and the blood is not kezayis, the blood is a revius. And that's what's unique, and therefore it could be that Rabbi Shua ben Pesaira, who says that dam nevela is toir, indeed is toir from making something else, mukhshar, susceptible to becoming tomei, but you have no proof from Rabbi Yehuda ben Pesaira that indeed, at least when there's a revius of blood, that it will not be metame, and it could be it will be metame. Continues the Gemara, Omer Rabbi Yosi, pligi bot train amiroin. There was a machlekas between two Amiroim exactly on this discussion, whether when you have a revius of blood of a nevela, is it metame? Chad Omar Tomei, one said it's Tomei, Chad Omar Torah, the other one said it was Tomei. Manda Omar Tomei, the opinion who said that it was Tomei, Krib Yehuda, as we saw before, it was Yosi Ber Yehuda, it's Rabbi Yehuda who quotes Rabbi Yosi Ber Yehuda, who holds that if you have a kezias of congealed blood, if you have a revius of blood, it's metame. Umando amat toyer, the opinion who said it was completely toyer, even when it's a revius, Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira, he holds, like Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira said, as we mentioned before, dam nevela is toyer. Even though the Gemara we just learned said that it could well be that Rabbi Yeshua ben Beseira is only talking about being machshir lekabel tuma, but in and of itself, it could be the blood, the revius of the blood is tomei. However, over here, according to Rabbi Yosi, we're just learning now, he assumes that the opinion who holds that even a revius of blood is not metame understood that Rabbi Yeshua ben Peseiro said toyer, even a revius of blood is not metame. Continues the Gemara, Omar Lei Rav Avduma Domin Nechoisa, Rav Avduma from a place of Nechoisa, he said v'yois, and it's true, and we'll soon see what this means. Rabbi Yehuda, it was Rabbi Yehuda himself who was Moraino. He was the halachic authority, the Bein Nasiya Hava, in the home of the Nasi. Who was the Nasi? Rebbe. And this takes us right back to what we saw before. Right at the beginning of this discussion, we said that it was an incident that a mule in the home of Rebbe died. It was a nevela, and some of its blood came out. And they said in the home of Rebbe, they said it was Toyer. And they asked Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi and said, why was it Toyer? Was it Toyer even if it was less than Revius? Was it Toyer only because it was less than Revius? Or even if it would have been more than Revius, it was Toyer? And Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi said, Ad Revius Toyer, Yosem Revius Tomei. It was only Toyer because it was less than Revius. Who was the halachic authority in Rebbe's home? The halachic authority there was Rabbi Yehuda. And we just saw now that Rabbi Yehuda, he was the one that holds that Tomei, that if you have blood more than a revius, it's Tomei. So it makes a lot of sense that if we tie all the pieces together, it's the same Rabbi Yehuda who holds that the revius of dam of an avela is metame. He was the one that actually said in the base Rebbe that it's Toyer only because it was less than a revius. Continues in the Gemara, we saw in the Mishnah, Shemo Yani Vayomru. It's the final statement in the Mishnah that the person who went to withdraw the money from the chamber of the Shkolim into these three boxes, he would go in there without a hemmed garment and without shoes, without a sandal, etc., in order that nobody should be able to accuse him of taking any coins. And we said that it's important for a person to always remain innocent in the eyes of people and the eyes of Hashem. Says the Gemara, Toni Rabbi Shmuel, Kavitz, a person with long hair, Lo Yitroim, he shouldn't be the one to be appointed to withdraw these Shkolim. Mipnei Hashad, people might suspect that he's hiding coins in his hair. Toni and another Braisa, Gizborin, the treasurers, Hoyu Mefasfusin Bekilkin, that they would separate the strands in their woolen garments, that people shouldn't think that between the strands they're hiding some coins. Tony, another braisa, the medabrin hoyu imoy, the person that went in to remove the coins, to withdraw the coins from the chamber and put them into the box, they would constantly be speaking to him, mishashu nichnas, from the moment he went into that chamber, ad shashu yotz, until he left that chamber, in order to make sure that he's not hiding coins in his mouth. And also, as an extreme precaution of Yisem Nikim, they shouldn't suspect him. Asks the Gemara of Yimale Pumei Mai, why don't they just tell him to put water in his mouth and he won't be able to put any coins in his mouth? Omer of Tanchuma Mipnei Abrocha, because there was a brocha when he was separating, withdrawing the coins, he would have to make a brocha, and he cannot make a brocha with water in his mouth. Continues the Gemara, B'Shmuel Bar Nachman, B'Shem Reb Yoinason, B'Teira Uba Nevim Uba Ksuvim Matzanu, we found in all of Tanakh, Teira Nevim and Ksuvim, Sha'odom Tzorich Lotzeis Yidei Chivose, a person has to satisfy the scrutiny of Yidei Abriyes, of human beings, K'derech Shu Tzorich Lotzeis Yidei Hamokim, in the same way as a person has to satisfy the scrutiny of Hashem on him. B'Teira Minayin, where does it say this in the Pasuk, in the Teira? It says in the Pasuk, D'Chsiv, we saw this before. It says, "V'yisem nekiim, you should be innocent, me Hashem umi Yisrael, in the eyes of Hashem and the eyes of Yisrael." But Neviim, where do we find this in Neviim? This is a pasuk in Yeshua, "Dechsiv, Keil Elohim Hashem, Keil Elohim Hashem, Hu Yoidea V'Yisrael Hu Yeda. So what do we learn from that? We learn from there that even Klal Yisrael, that also Hashem and also Klal Yisrael will know him. That means Hashem will know Klal Yisrael that, and knows their innocence. B'ksuvim, where do we find this in K'suvim? It's a pasuk in Mishli, Minayin, D'chsiv, it says in the pasuk, U'motzo chein, and find favor, V'seichel toiv, and good understanding, Be'enei Elikim, in Hashem's eyes, V'odom, and in man's eyes. Gamliel Zuga, Sho'al, L'Rab Yosi Bar Rav Bun, Gamliel Zuga, he inquired, he asked, Rab Yosi Bar Rav Bun, Eze ha-mechuvar shebekulam, which of these three psukim is the one which is the clearest, that gives over this message the clearest of all? Omar Lei said to him, V'yisem nekim, the pasuk, it says in the Torah, that you should be innocent in the eyes, me Hashem umi Yisrael, in Hashem's eyes, and in the eyes of people. And it says it there explicitly that one should be clean and innocent in people's eyes in the same way as one should be clean from the scrutiny of Hashem. And that's the pasuk is the clearest of all. And Emir Tz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue the next Mishnah.